Thursday, 15 October, 15 broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for joining Calvary Hour. This broadcast is ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church located in New Bern, North Carolina, and I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We're sure glad to have you with us today. Would you join us for prayer, and then we'll pick up our text in Acts chapter 9 as we're following Peter as the Lord is going to prepare him to open the door of faith to the Gentiles. Father, do bless us now with thy precious word. Speak to my heart, the hearts of all of our listeners. And dear God, as a Gentile, thank you for opening the door of faith to us. Please, Lord, please, I pray that we will be faithful to proclaim this message, realizing that now there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you. We realize that that at one time did not exist. That privilege didn't exist. But we're sure thankful that it does now. We praise thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we find that Paul now is going to kind of drop out of the scriptural scene here until we get to the last part of Acts chapter 11, and we pick up the discourse on Peter's life. Peter was passing throughout all the quarters. He came down to Lydda, found a man by the name of Aeneas, kept his bed 8 years, was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all they that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. So Peter's got a bunch of new converts over there now to be working with. And while he's working with them, he finds out that there's a lady sick over in Joppa, which is not far away according to the scriptures. The Bible says, Now and there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into an upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Now this was indeed miraculous power that God had given to Peter and through Peter. And Peter, after he had prayed, spoke, the lady arose, opened her eyes, and she sat up. The Bible says, And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. Now, I think you'll agree, these are wonderful occurrences. It was wonderful that Aeneas was healed of his palsy and was able to walk and pick up his bed and walk. And now Dorcas is restored back to life. But remember, after Aeneas was healed, what happened? The Bible says that all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. A great number of people got saved. And after Peter had spoken and God raised Dorcas back up, listen to this, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And so there was a great turning to the Lord over at Lydda and Saron, and then there was a great turning to the Lord at Joppa. And so here is a whole bunch. I mean, the Bible doesn't tell us how many, but it says many. And I believe the Bible literally, and I believe when he said many, I believe it meant many. Many were saved. Now, Peter has a responsibility. He's got a responsibility to help these new converts. And dear friend, what I'm trying to get at is this. We're seeing the stage set for Peter to be at Simon's house, the tanner, for a time of rest and reviving and so forth. And he will be there when God prepares him for the entrance of the gospel to the Gentiles. So please, let's not lose sight of the forest because of the trees. These are wonderful occasions that we're looking at, but all of these are in the will and in the way and in the work of God to prepare Peter for what's coming ahead of him. And do you know, God is preparing us for what's ahead of us as well? You know, so many things in life seem to be just simply mundane, and pretty much they are. But even these things, for God's children, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. And dear friend, there's no such thing as an unimportant event in our life if we're in the will of God. And so Peter was just going along, and God was using him. Were these spectacular times? They were. And it doesn't mean that our times are going to be that spectacular, but I'll tell you what it does mean. It does mean that the experiences that the Lord gives us in life, they are for preparation to prepare us for the ministry that he has ahead of us. Now, taking care of all these new converts was spiritually and physically exhausting. It had to be. Peter was going to need some rest. Verse 42, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. Now, Peter is staying with this, I would think, a brother in Christ. His name is Simon. He's a commercial worker. He has a business. He's a tanner. He tans leather. Now, it's interesting, too, where his house was. We're going to find out as we read that it was by the seaside. And you know what I picture in my mind? Here's Peter. He's faithful to the Lord. He has been there to serve Aeneas, serve the Lord through reaching Aeneas. He has been there to serve the Lord in the situation of Tabitha or Dorcas. He has been there to minister to these new brothers and sisters in Christ. And the Lord says, Peter, I am going to give you some time to rest now, and I'm going to get you down to the seashore. I'm going to let you have a waterfront house where you can rest. Now, if you are familiar with the life of Mr. Charles Spurgeon, you know that he was one of the great preachers of any day as far as that's concerned. But he had a problem that some of us know something about. He suffered from depression. And this man would work hard. He'd work faithfully. God would use him. Multitudes of people were saved. But there came a time, and usually each year there would come a time, when he had to have some rest. And what would he do? He would go, so far what I have read, what I have heard, he would go down to the seashore. I believe in the south of France he would go, and he would spend sometimes weeks there and sometimes months there. It would take that much time for him to get restored. And God made it clear, Jesus made it clear to the disciples when they were busy and many were going to and fro. And we'll say more about this later, but he said, come ye apart and rest a while, because so much was going on. And sometimes I'm afraid we lose sight of the fact that God does intend for us to take some time to rest. It doesn't mean that we're to use that to be lazy and to be indolent. That's not what it's for. But you know, our Lord himself labored 6 days in the creation, the restoration. He labored 6 days. On the seventh day he rested. And dear friend, there's nothing wrong with us using some time to rest as well. Well, Peter is going to have a waterfront cottage now, at least a waterfront home. And I believe he was probably at a house of a man that really loved God and loved the servants of God and opened his house to Peter. And God be praised for folks who are willing to do that. Well, I see that it's about time for us to close this broadcast. But it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. Now, over yonder Caesarea, which is not too far away, there's a man over there carrying a tremendous spiritual burden. He is very religious. He's very pious, but he's lost. And he wants to know how he can know the Lord. Well, we're going to pick up this on our next time together, God willing. In the meantime, I trust the Lord will be pleased to make each of us a channel of his blessing, and I hope you can join us for our broadcast on tomorrow as we find God preparing this centurion for the gospel and preparing Peter, this Jewish man, to take the gospel to people normally he would not associate with because they were Gentiles. Oh, the marvelous grace of God. Please join in with us if you can, and we'll share this together.